Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Boy, it's been a beautiful day today. We had a wonderful day in the Lord here. If you was in our service this morning, it was very uplifting, and the presence of the Lord was surely felt. And can't think of what I want to say. But anyways,
nobody loves you like
Jesus. Yeah, that's right. Nobody loves you like Jesus. No one has done more for you than Jesus. And if you open your heart to Him today, no one will ever do more for you than Jesus. Let's stand and sing a song since it's song day. In number 467, there should be showers of blessing.
There is 20, 30 things that I would like to say. It's on my mind when I get up and walk up here, and when I look out at everybody, my mind goes blank.
Amen.
I don't know what it is. Just have to pray to the Lord to help us. But let's go to the word prayer tonight. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, dear God, for all you do. We just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity to be in your house. And tonight, to teach your word, be with him in a special way. Be with all those on our prayer list, Lord. Be with all those that couldn't come tonight. We pray for the one of people down there tonight. Amen.
Thank you, Brother, Sister Nancy, and Brother Ken. Why do y'all think I got this many notes when I get up here talking about your mind going blank? Mine goes blank every now and then. And we need it. Let's kind of change things up a little bit. Usually we do prayer requests, and then we go into our praise report, then we do our prayer request, and then We have prayer, and then we go into our study time. So tonight, let's do praise first, okay? And then we'll do study time, and then we'll do prayer time. I told y'all when I got here that I would always try to give you what God gave me. And Ken was with me pretty early this afternoon, and I was struggling on where to go. I didn't feel a hard direction. I do want us to start 1 Peter before long, and we could have did an intro on that, could have went over to the book of Proverbs. That's what we do talk about, moments, right there you go. Proverbs, excuse me. But if y'all noticed, I didn't get in the pulpit till 11:30 this morning, and you were still out by 12:10. Do you think that's all I had on these papers? No. That was nowhere near all. But the idea of revelation, the revelation of God, the revealing of eternal and unchanging truths that God would choose to let us, you know, the Bible talks about, I think it's in Proverbs, that it is the pleasure of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of man to search it out, for us to search it out. And God has revealed a lot to us, and some of the things like Scripture may not be in, just like we know that the Gospels aren't written in chronological order. That's the way that we like to understand things, but it was written different back then. They were writing about a topic, and so they were trying to do a topic. And it's our duty to put it in a systematic form, and that is what our doctrine is based on that study. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about those things, but just want to start out with praise reports. Man, we had a wonderful spirit here again this morning, wonderful testimony. It's good to have the SBCV investing in us, and that they're opening up some opportunities to us. And so we need to continue to be praying about that. And then also thank you for the love offering, the gift this morning, and the love that's been expressed to myself and to the family. We love being here. We appreciate that God has brought us here. But you remember, I don't know about y'all, but we used to have what was called testimony services, meaning that the preacher didn't preach. I mean, and he just allowed the people of the body of Christ to testify about what God has done for them. And in the past month, we've had two women that has brought some awesome testimonies, Sister Mosher a few weeks ago in September, and then today, Sister Whitney stood up and what God did for her. And, you know, we talked about this morning how God does not build on our defeats, but he builds on his victory. She testified to that fact in her life that God, where the battles came, he brought the victory. And in that, she's growing closer to God and trusting in him. So is there anyone tonight that just has a word of praise or a word of testimony tonight that you'd like to give?
Mm-hmm. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, man, it's just been, God has just been today. Mm-hmm. Because if I was here before, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. I'd just be here. But now I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And the people in the church just, you know, been so good to me. Mm-hmm. Always carrying on with me. You know, it makes me feel like I got a thing now.
Amen.
And I thank God for that because God put me here.
Amen.
You know, back here's my little buddy, too. He's looking at it right now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you speaking of that, that reminds me of those of you that's watching by Facebook, those of you that's listening by radio or whatever it means, you send us your testimonies as well. Sister Ruth Osborne sent this morning that thank God that her family has been delivered from COVID. She had those in her family with COVID that she wanted to do. But one thing that's neat is I talked about us, be thinking about what God wants you to say, okay? I'm going to give you time to build yourself up. But as we get prepared to study the book of 1 Peter, they believe that it was written during the time of the Neroian persecutions, meaning that how many of you around 64 to 66 A.D., you remember Emperor Nero? He was crazy, and he wanted to do a lot of building. and there wasn't room. And so many believe that the great fire of Rome was set by him. And he calls Rome Babylon, or it's a picture of Babylon. But when he's writing to the people, he's not, as we know Peter was Simon Peter the Rock. He's writing to people who have lost everything. Many of them, that they're Gentiles, their stuff has been burned up, their homes have been burned up. And then also the Jews, that they were not liked anyway. And so when Nero saw that all the temples had been burned down, all the way down to the household little idols that they had, he knew, the people recognized that their God didn't have the power to do it. So Nero turned it and said, it's these Christians' gods. It's the Christian God that's brought all this. And therein do you have the Neroian persecutions. But it's just going to be neat what he tells them in the midst. As we know, things are never hopeless here. But we do see our country getting into a place, even as we see COVID beginning to kindly, you know, we're getting a grip with that. Our government and everything like that is just, you know, out there. And like I said this morning, our heritage has been robbed by sinful people in high places. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Mm-hmm. He give you a revelation. There you go. Amen. And well, when you told me that night, and I said we'll pray about it, it wasn't 30 minutes after that I was like, well, duh, doesn't that just make common sense, good sense for her to carry on her ministry she's had prior to this point, that you can just carry it on with the relationship. And you know, I believe in relationship ministry, and that's what made me so glad about Brother Don and Sister Tina being here, that we're building a relationship there. Thank you, Sister Susan. Yeah. Amen. And the more you think about it, the more there are. You know, and I just sit down, and I know me and you've talked back and too, and God just keeps bringing a reminder of this one, that one, this one. You know, so we are looking forward to that. Pray over everybody. Pray over it. Just like we're praying over the 500 boxes and our other areas. Pray that God just do an awesome, awesome move in there. Anyone else? And, you know, that's a difficult time because, man, when you graduate high school, reality usually slaps you in the face very fast. And then you've got, if you're in college, then you've got professors pushing things on you that you've never heard before, but they're in positions of authority that you think you can put trust. That's a difficult time. They need to have their own place where they can come together and vent and learn and grow. Anyone else tonight? For the praise or testimony? All right, well, let's look in the book of Nehemiah. And instead of just reading the whole chapter, I want to go back and I want to focus on the idea of how we see and where we see revelation and then inspiration, okay? And we see it happening here. If you'll notice in Nehemiah chapter 8, I'm going to jump from verses, so just be with me, okay? It says that in verse 1, that as the people gathered together at the water gate, what did they ask Ezra to bring? In verse 1, the book of the law of Moses. And then, notice this, then we see that there's the book of the law of Moses, and who was it read to in verse 2? All who could listen with understanding. And then, again, we're told that while Ezra, in verse 3, was facing the square there at the water gate, he read aloud out of it, what is it? The word, amen. Notice how long he did it. He did it from the break of day until noon with men and women. And again, we've seen the law and those who could understand it. the book, the law of God, and then those who could understand it, and the people were listening attentively to the book of the law. And then in verse 4, we read that he had the 6 on one side, he had the 7 on the other side. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5, it said, Ezra opened the book in full view of the people. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I think that that's important. I know some men that now they can get up those with those tablets. I'll never be one of those guys, but Pastor Tim, he's real good at it. And he has his notes on those tablets and things and all that. And I have no problem with a preacher preaching out of that. But I still think there needs to be the book in the flesh and it to be opened in front of the people, because the authority is not coming from the man. The authority is not coming from the ones that were standing on the left hand or the ones that were standing on the right hand. The authority, this is the closest thing until Jesus comes and calls us home. This is the closest thing we'll ever have to God. Not the words it's printed in, but the precepts that's contained in this is the revelation of God itself. Now, this morning I asked you a few times, why does a pastor preach? And then after I thought my pants had ripped, I forgot all about that and never answered you on that. But the reason that a pastor preaches is for revelation, inspiration, and application, so that the Word of God will ignite the fire inside the people of God, and the people of God will take the power of God outside the walls of the church. That's the passion. Any man that's called by God, any man that's filled with the Holy Spirit, that is his passion on the inside. It's not about the numbers of the church. It's not about a salary. It's not about a stepping stone to a bigger place or to a higher position. It is about the revelation of God to the people of God who apply it after they're inspired and they change the world and grow the kingdom of God. So we see in verse 5 that he opened the book in full view of the people, since he was elevated above everyone. Don't it sound kind of similar to what we do today? I mean, the pulpit has been built up. A friend of mine down at Friendship Baptist Church, that's where Doug Odle is pastor at on the Jonesville side of the country. And what they did when COVID started, they literally on their front porch built it into a platform and had an altar there. They built it for the purpose of the preaching of the word. And you know what? Every week I pray for you, I pray for the people, but I also pray for this property, because this property has been set aside for the glory of the Lord and for the purpose of the kingdom. And we just need to continue rededicating it to the Lord, giving it over to Him, that everything about it will be His. There's one church I pastored one time. And when I got there, I took the bottle of anointing oil and I walked around it. And I prayed, Lord, just whatever needs to happen, let's show who this church is. Is it yours? Is it man's? Is it yours? Is it man's? It took 3 years. But my wife will tell you, God was not the authority in that church. And when God showed me that, it was like somebody unplugged the cord from the wall. The burden was gone. You know, the people that still loved them, but the burden is what he called me there that I had to carry. But in that time, he said, okay, that's enough. And I've not walked around and anointed this place with oil, but I promise you I have brought the property lines and dedicated it and prayed over it. Notice it says, and we lose this a little bit, but not only was he in an elevated position, but what does it go on to say that the people did when he opened up the book? They stood up. Now think about that. From daylight, which right now is about 7:40, Ms. Fisson go back, all the way up to lunch, all they did was listen to the reading of the word. And what we're going to see later on is that the Levites were placed out in positions, and it looks like they broke them down into small groups. And then they expounded upon the word. This is what Ezra just read. Now let's put it into application. This is what it means. This is what God told us to do. Remember, just like the festival of the booths? You know, there were only two other more important festivals, and that is Passover and the Day of Atonement, I believe it was. And they had chopped one of them out and hadn't done it in 1,000 years. But notice, it says that the Levites in verse 6, notice, they said, when Ezra began to bless the Lord, the great God, the people fell down on their knees and fell down on their face and said, amen and amen. And what that means is, I agree with that, or let it be so. Let that be a reality. And again, the law of God was translated unto them. Those that came with understanding to receive, then what happens? It's translated, or it is put into a way that they can understand it even better, so that the people could understand what was read. Verse 9, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites and those that were instructing it, they said, this day is holy unto your God. Do not mourn and weep, for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Then said he unto them, go eat the rich, drink what is sweet, send portions to those who have prepared nothing, since this day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites quieted the people and said, be still, since the day is holy, do not grieve. And then the people began to eat, drink, and send portions, and they began to celebrate. What did they celebrate? They didn't celebrate their failure. They didn't celebrate the fact that they had not been a part of this festival for so many years. They celebrated the fact that God let them, still loves them, and wants them to celebrate who He is. And then we see that they go on to day two, and they begin to learn even more, have even deeper revelations. But let me read you that song, Revelation by Third Day. And I think there's some people, I wanted to post it, but I ain't got as good as Brother Paul yet. I don't know how to post the songs on Facebook yet. So, but listen to what it says. It says, my life has led me down the road that is so uncertain. Now I am left alone and I'm broken, trying to find my way, trying to find a faith that is gone. This time I know that you're holding all the answers. I'm tired of losing hope. I'm tired of taking chances on roads that never seem to be the one that bring me home, or the one that brings me back to you. And so the chorus is, or the cry is, give me a revelation. Show me what to do, because I've been trying to find my way and I haven't got a clue. Tell me, should I stay here or do I need to move? Give me a revelation. I've got nothing without you. And then it goes on to say, I don't know where I can turn. Tell me when I will learn. Won't you show me where I need to go? Let me follow your lead so I can find my way back home. And I think that that is a lot of people in our culture today. They're looking for something. They're looking for truth. They're wanting a revelation, even though it may not be, they may not be seeking it in the right place. That is their heart's desire, is that they receive a revelation from God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the revelation. I mean, when we read about the inspired book, when we read it here in this passage, we have it in verse 3, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 13 and verse 15, and remember, they called the book It at one time. But what it's talking about, it's talking about the sacred word of God. The sacred word of God. And do you know that that is one thing that sets us apart as Protestants? There are things called the five solas of the Protestant faith. And tell me if you've ever heard these. Sola Scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, sola Christo, sola Deo gloria. Oh, that's Latin, but listen to what it means. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. Not some pope, Remember, that's why they rebelled, because they gave the Pope more authority than the Word of God. But the Reformation said, not anymore. It's by Scripture alone. And isn't that what we see in this passage here in chapter 8 of Nehemiah? Not by anything. It wasn't because they built the wall. That's not how they had a revelation. They were going back to the Word of God and depending on the Word of God to enlighten them on who God was, who they are in relation to God, and how they should live their life according to that relationship. But then there is sola fide. Anyone want to take a guess on that? By faith alone. By faith alone. Not of works. You remember, what does the Scripture say? By grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nehemiah and Ezra could have got up here and said, yeah, God likes you again because you built the wall back. But he didn't, did he? He laid out the Word of God to them and then trying to grow their faith. And we see that growth of faith, that they believe to trust in God. Instead of mourning, they go back to trusting God, and they believe what God said, that it's not a time to mourn, it's time to celebrate, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, thinking about that Scripture, by grace through faith, we've got sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia. By grace alone, that's exactly right, by grace alone, only by His favor, only by His pleasure do we have salvation. All right, come on, y'all got to know this one. Sola Christo. Christ alone. Amen. Hallelujah. We ought to, everybody raise your hands and say, Christ alone. Christ alone. Christ alone. Amen. When we don't know what to say, like when you had your moment, Christ alone. Nobody loves me like Jesus. And then, sola Deo gloria. Glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. Amen. Isn't that beautiful, though? The five solas of the Protestant faith. But I sit back and I got to thinking about this today. If we look at what we have, remember that verse of Scripture in Hebrews, as we're focusing on revelation, that God revealing Himself to us. Think about the way that God has. In Hebrews chapter 12, or Hebrews chapter 1, it says, long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and at different times, different ways. In the last day, has spoken us by His Son. And God has appointed Him heir of all things, and made Him the universe, and made the universe through Him. Think about it. God began to reveal Himself face to face almost with Adam and Eve. Remember, it said that He would walk with them in the garden. But then when the break happened, then it came through the prophets. And we have the law that was given to Moses. But we also have Old Testament testimonies through the prophets and through the wisdom writings and through the poetic writings. And then we have the firsthand testimonies of those that wrote the Gospels. And then we have the testimony of the growth of the churches in the epistles. But also we have Jesus Christ Himself, who said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. And we have His words, but also we have the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us and works through us. We have people around us that God puts in our path every day. I told you about the time that I went to cash a check, and the woman behind the counter, I had asked her, God, speak to me today. I prayed to God. And the woman behind the counter cashed the check, and before she put it in that little thing to shoot it on out to me, she dropped it in there, and she said, I know I'm supposed to, I don't know you, but you're supposed to be pulling them out, not letting them pull you back in. The Lord wanted me to tell you that. And then she pushed a little button, shot that thing out, and it just so happened that I had read that week Jonah about a running prophet. Now you tell me God won't speak to you. If you ask, He will give you a revelation. Then not only that, but think about the nature around us. Romans chapter 1 says that all of creation testifies to the Godhead. How can you not? I mean, That's what blows my mind, and that's why we should get excited. Think about yourself as an individual. All the ways that God is trying to bring His revelation of who He is into your life. Isn't that awesome? We have all those things I just talked about. God is working. He's moving. And if we'll look for it, we'll see His hand. The Bible says He ever lives to intercede for us. But not only that, think about when Ezra told them, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Listen, Psalms, I read this morning. Psalms chapter 149, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly celebrate in triumphant glory. Let them shout for joy on their beds. Why would somebody be laying on their bed? Probably injured, sick, or something like that. But He's saying in the midst of that, God takes pleasure in who you are. But then not only that, in Hebrews 7:25 it says, therefore He is always able to save those who come to God through Him, since He always intercedes for us. You know, it says all the way in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, all the way up to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, that God is jealous over you. God is jealous over us. And He finds joy in our service to Him. He finds joy in when we turn the spotlight on to Him. He finds joy when we do our best to encourage others about His love on the outside. He finds joy when we work for Him on the inside of the church to share the gospel. Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we know that He is finding joy in us and that we are in His hands, praise God, we can have strength. We can overcome all those. Why? Because we're greater? No, but because His victories. He builds on His victory. And in His joy, we have the greatest victory, and that is eternal salvation. Now, notice that even in sometimes when we're supposed to be joyful, our sin can still burden us. And I see that with a lot of people today who profess to be Christians, but they still let past sins and past failures and faults hinder them from living a full life in Christ Jesus. And Paul, now you go back to Paul. Paul said he was innocent of man's blood. Now we know that he was that. Why? Because he received the forgiveness that God gave. And see, the Bible teaches specifically over in 1 John that God is bigger than our heart, meaning that He is greater than our conscience. He is greater than our self-condemnation. And so sometimes we have to worship in spite of the mood. Does that make sense? Worship in spite of the situation. Think about it. They just figured out when they were reading the law, they figuring out we've been doing a lot of stuff wrong. We've been not acting like God's people. We've not been celebrating God's festival. What do you think? No, it said they were crying. They were weeping. And what did the priest say? What did the Levite say? It's not time for you to weep. You're to celebrate. You're to drink the sweet, eat the fat. You're to celebrate even though you know they were broken. They were convicted. They were inspired. They recognized their sin. But God said, because remember, they had to sacrifice so many lambs, so many rams, so many bullocks and all that. And in that covenant, that was the covering of sin. And so the idea was, hey, you're broken, but we're getting all that stuff took care of. We're coming back. You're in the process of coming back. So in spite of the mood you're in, we need you to celebrate. Do it, if not for yourself, do it for the ones around you. Do it for the ones that don't have portions and send them back home. And so we see that the inspiration was not an emotion. Amen? The inspiration that they had, what did it say they did? It said not only they eat and celebrate and all that, but they came back the next day and figured out better how to do it. Inspiration isn't about emotion. It's about a passion for Jesus. It's about a passion for lost souls. It's about a passion for the joy of the Lord. And I want you to notice something else. We see the revelation, many ways that God can reveal Himself to us, mainly through the Spirit and the Word today, but there's so many other areas that He can work, just like I told you in my life. And so it inspired them. It inspired them to be in mourning, but the commandment said, celebrate. So what did they do? They took the revelation, which gave them inspiration, and instead of going by how they felt, they went by what was written and what was commanded of them, and in that they grew in their relationship with God. But I want you to notice something. When you receive understanding, when you apply it to your life, it opens up a door to deeper understanding. Huh? You see what happened? The first day, what did they do? They just celebrated, ate the fat, drank the wine, sent some to other people. But they came back the next day, ready for more revelation. What did they find out? We're supposed to be celebrating in thatched roofs and houses and stuff like that. We're supposed to be remembering through the way that we're living our life. So what did they do? You reckon they still felt like going out and cutting shrubs? No, but what did they do? They went out there and they cut shrubs. They came back, they built the roof, and then they went through the whole week. But what happened there? It was revelation went to inspiration. That was application. And then the application brought on more revelation. It brought a deeper understanding and deeper relationship. And so as we grow, remember, application always leads to more understanding. Application carries us to another place where we can grow in our relationship with God. Revelation. God reveals Himself through the Word, by the Spirit, by those around us, by nature that's around us. Think about the solar system. I mean, these things they can't even figure out about that. God's so big that we ain't even got that down. And so, revelation led to inspiration. They wanted to do what God wanted them to do. And that meant, while their body said, let's weep and mourn, the Scripture said, let's celebrate. So inspiration led to what? Activation or application, where they began to. So there's you another 20 minutes on this morning's sermon. And that would have been about average. So I get it. Okay. Anybody got any thoughts on the idea of revelation? Brother Paul probably does because he knows where I stole them points from. But publicly. Anybody, do you have any thoughts on the idea of revelation, inspiration, and application?
Just to show you,
amen.
It's so deep in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I encourage somebody to come to church. Amen. Well, I have no idea what you think.
Mm-hmm.
But the song I put up yesterday was got a pin box.
Really? Amen. And Brother Paul, all he's looking is to be close to the Lord. I mean, that's mainly to know more, right? I mean, it ain't to, and it's just like, but God, I think He's wanting to show us that there's more to Thomas Village than what He's revealed yet. There's more to the work, more to the plan.
I think it's on that note.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, brother. You know, we went through 10 gates. You remember we went through the 10 gates? Well, I didn't focus on it this morning, but in the 11th gate, there's going to be 12 by the time we get to the end of the book of Nehemiah. There's going to be 12. But this morning, it talked about the Ephraim gate. And they said it played a major role. If you notice, it said that they put the thatch roof over the courtyard of the Ephraim gate and over the water gate. Well, the Ephraim gate, from what I could study, it represents abundance, that there's a growth, and that there is, you remember, they're celebrating how God provided all the food and all that in the harvest. And so the Ephraim gate is a picture of not only them celebrating what God had already done by providing for them, but it was also a looking ahead to when the abundance of the new kingdom, the abundance of when God returns and New Jerusalem is here on the earth. And man, we heard an awesome description. Don't know if it's theologically correct, but we heard an awesome description of how if God chooses to do it where he just consumes the earth and purifies it by fire. And this guy was teaching, and he said, what would happen if that fire was so hot that it turned all the sand to glass, and there would be rivers of silver and gold flowing through there? I don't know if that's how it's going to happen, but it's an awesome thought, right? And we ought to have the biggest imaginations of anybody, because whatever we can imagine, he's going to exceed it 1,000 times. Any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. Oh, my, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, but could you imagine if it was able to bring people that lived 100 years ago to this time? They wouldn't recognize America. They wouldn't. All right, any other thoughts? I'm not going to read our whole prayer list tonight. These are the ones that you can see that we've got numerous. I read them almost every one of our services except for Sunday morning. But we do have some special prayer needs, and number one is lost, and we need to be praying for those. We need to be praying for the backslidden, need to be praying for marriages. Brother Matt sent me possible date for the marriage retreat weekend. I'm not going to say it until I talk with the council about it, but just be praying over that. Be praying for the depressed. I had one pastor reach out to me this week and ask me if I would mind, and Amy mind, counseling with someone whose spouse committed suicide. And there's just so many people out there dealing with so many things, like we talked about, looking for some answers to some needs. They need a revelation. And then, like Brother Otis lifted up, we always want to pray for our nation, always want to lift up the president, all the way down to our local government. We do want to lift up Dylan Rose, got the COVID. Now, as far as I know, Kelly and Carter are doing well. They're better. So it's just running its course, huh? Praise the Lord. Kevin Stevens, this is a friend of mine down in Georgia. He did have cancer. He's come through that, but he's had some major, I told y'all about him, had some major issues with his lungs and needed some surgery, but because his oxygen was so low, he was still in the ICU and all that. Well, Jen, his wife sent me a message and said that he's in a regular room now. So we still thankful for that. But his mama sent me a text and said, but keep praying for him. And that's a special. Miss Joanne, if you're watching, I love you to death, and so does our family. She has given my kids plenty of candy through church services. We want to pray for Brother Wayne. He's got an appointment this week, but basically when they said the hemorrhage, that basically his eye's bleeding and he's seeing the blood flow. So, I mean, you can imagine how difficult that would be. And he's having some headaches, and I'd say not some, probably bad headaches, but we want to pray for him. We want to pray for the Gillette family. Continue to pray for Miss Wilma Williams. Lift her up. Do be in prayer for Bill Eads. It's my friend with cancer, and there needs to be some revelation there. There needs to be some things understood there. Miss Tanya Nash is still recovering from her surgery. Brother David and Nancy, specifically Brother David Carter, as he's dealing with some physical issues. Sister Pam and Brother Jasper texted with them today. Everything's doing good. They're on the mend. There's many, many more that we have here as well. Do we have any other prayer needs that we can add to the list tonight? Do be praying for her and praying for the home. I'm going to try to use it to get Mom and Daddy up here. Oh, I don't know if I can take care of her. You need Mama. Oh, that sounds good. You think that sounds good? Let's see if I, okay, I'll practice it a little bit. No, they ain't. He's preaching. I don't know. They start at 5. They start at 5 o'clock. No, I ain't. Yeah, are you going to leave me with this? Are you going to? Have I ever told y'all how we met? Me and Amy. Me and my roommate went to a revival one time, and she was there, and I said, we thought she was good looking. And I said, well, go talk to her. And he was like, no. I said, let me show you how. And so I walked over to her, and I said, hello, ma'am, or something like that. And that was all there was. She said hello back. Well, then a few months later, my friend said, I got a blind date for you. And guess who it was? It was Amy. And the first night she met me, she had to take stomach nausea medication. She's been nauseated ever since. All right. I'm sorry if I play too much. Anybody else tonight? Word of praise, testimony, prayer need. Yes. Anyone else? All right. It's been good to be with you today. Don't forget, 11 o'clock Tuesday, if you can be here. Brother Otis, our thing on Tuesday morning is at 9 instead of 9:30, okay? But I'll text you tomorrow night, all right? Brother Ken, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer tonight?
Father God, it's once again good to be in your house, amongst you, to hear your word. And I hope we take this revelation with us and use it and glean it and use it for your glory. There's been many people's names that's been brought up tonight. Just put your blessing upon them. Be with the leaders of our nation. They make wise decisions. Just be with our families. Be with us as we travel. All those that are traveling, and we just ask your blessings and mercies to be with us, and just thank you for our preacher and the family, and we love them so much, and we just ask us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love y'all. We'll see y'all.